every time it's here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. The show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack. When you're done, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Hey, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're in.
And take care of you.
Sweet. Mark, do we have any videos available?
We do. We have videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101, rule 62.
Don't try and take yourself so damn seriously. Shelley.
Yes.
Do we have any email addresses?
We do. I hope I remember them. At recovery101radio@gmail.com, recovery101radio@hotmail.com, and recovery_101@hotmail.com. And at Recovery101RadioSales@gmail.com.
For the crack staff.
Yes, if you would like to become a member of our crack advertising staff.
By the way,
yes,
we have Recovery Idol. Don't forget about Recovery Idol. If you're a member of a band or you just play an instrument and you want to make us a jingle, go ahead and send that in. You can send it to any of those email addresses. Mark.
30 to 60 seconds, please.
Yeah. Yes.
And then there's Bruce.
Sweet, the other white meat.
He's at 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com. You can go up online and read his fine publication. You can get it emailed to you, or you can get the subscription prescription.
Sweet.
And we'll send it to you via post. If you're interested in a franchise, contact Bruce, and he will give you all the information you need to bring the 12-Step Gazette to your little corner of the world.
Shelley, do we have any friends online?
That would be intherooms.com.
.com.
That is an online recovery community where you can put up your profile. Go to online chats and meetings. You can go to forums, and you can actually start a recovery blog there, and people
blog
will read it.
It
and point and laugh.
Nice.
Well, I'm sure they'll say constructive things, too. You can go to Friends of Recovery 101 and listen to the show on our embedded player, and it's all free.
Sweet. So, we have a topic.
We do.
What's the topic?
Ask backwards.
Okay.
As you can tell from the way the show's going so far. The end of the beginning.
Yes.
What? Is this different?
Yeah. I haven't noticed anything. So, Mark.
Yes.
You've been around
a
goodly amount of time.
A day or two.
I've been around a goodly amount of time. Shelley, although sober around the 5-year mark, has been around.
No friends.
Has been around program for a long time.
Since I was like 11.
And so we've all seen this. How about the people that just don't want to work stuff in order? They want to do everything ass backwards.
They do tend to drive you a little crazy, don't they?
Oh, my God.
They do. They're doing it their way.
Yeah.
Exactly. I did it my way.
Well, you know, I love that line anyway, you know. The way I work my program is my business.
Yes, it's not my program. It's the program, people.
Yeah, one program, folks.
Yeah, it's the program. Everyone works it slightly differently, yeah, but it's the program.
All the clean and sober people lead it do it a certain way.
It's the same 12 steps.
Yeah.
It's amazing how the people that actually stay sober are the ones that started at 1 and went to 12 and didn't miss any in between.
Right. Yeah. Now, Mark, what do you do when you've got a sponsee that, whatever, all of a sudden, you know, he's got...
He wants to go make amends when he's got
11
3 weeks.
11 days and he wants to make amends.
I did that.
I mean, now let me ask you. Is there any cases where that's okay or warranted?
I think there is. I think that there's cases where it's not so much a matter of making amends along the lines of working your ninth step. I think it's making amends where you've done something fairly recent.
Almost like a 10th step?
It's almost like a 10th step, even though I'm not sure you're ready for it yet. But there's sometimes where there's a need. You need to go apologize to somebody.
Like, let's say there's a boss who you just recently burnt in some way.
Yeah.
And the only way you're maybe going to get out of it is go and... Yeah. Talk to him.
You stole something and you still have it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we actually had a situation like that.
Yes, we did. I thought it was very appropriate that making amends would be a really good idea.
So then, in that scenario, then mm-hmm. ask backwards isn't in every, you know, I mean, certainly every case has got to be its own thing, because in every case, you know, there may be some exceptions. But as a general rule.
Few and far between.
Yeah, but as a general rule. Yeah. How about you, Shelley? Have you ever had people that want to do it out of order?
I did.
How'd that work for you?
I didn't do it. I wanted to, but I had run it by my sponsor first. And she said, we haven't done your fourth yet. You need to wait.
Yeah. We don't know exactly what you're going to make amends for yet.
Yes. I wanted to sit the kids down and apologize to them and explain stuff. And Becky said, why don't we get through your fourth and fifth first and decide how we want to do that. And then it was after I did my fifth that, I did them separately. I talked to Connor separately, and then I had Courtney on the front porch talking to her. But it was after. But I wanted to do it out of order, and at that point, I was doing things by the book. You know, you talk to your sponsor first before you get a good idea, before you run with your good idea. I got a good idea.
Yeah.
And you do what your sponsor says. Now, as time has gone on, sometimes my sponsor says, you know, maybe you might want to try doing this or that, and sometimes I'm like, ugh. And there are things that, and I will eventually do what she said, but I haven't done it yet. So I'm getting a little bit lax on that. But back in those days when I had a good idea, I got squashed down pretty fast, and I didn't question it.
I have had a number of sponsees at different times that want to do things out of order. And usually, you know what? Most times, I got to say it's the amends thing. Because I myself, not everyone agrees with me on this, but I myself am a fan of, I don't give a crap how much time you have. You can help someone else. I've seen guys with zero time help guys that actually have time, you know, by being there to listen or something like that. So the 12-step work aside, you know, people that go out on panels, you need 90 days to go on a panel, six months to lead or chair your own panel, a year to go to a lockdown facility.
Right.
A lot of those people that are at 90 days haven't worked all their steps, yet they're doing step 12. But my biggest thing is people that want to, I think, ninth step. A guy that I'm sponsoring that has over a year now, actually, who now he's gone past his inventory and everything, but he's like telling me about all these people he talked to. I'm like, maybe we should talk about that a little before you go do that. And he's a great guy, and he's actually doing very well, and he's about as done as anyone I've seen be done. And he's like, oh, yeah, I made this amends, I made that amends, and like we're working on, like, you know, step 8. I'm like, yeah. Let's try and go over that next time. So that's mostly been my experience. How about...
No, the other side, though.
Yeah.
What?
We know a guy. We had a guy come speak at a meeting we were at. Gave a great pitch. He was very entertaining. He sponsors probably 5 or 6 people. After he spoke at the meeting...
Does he have funny hair?
And he's got 4.5 months of sobriety.
He copped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's sponsoring and taking guys through their steps. He's got a great pitch. I thought he had a ton more time than he had.
You know what? That's kind of a weird thing, too, when you look at it. It's like the guy, right, he gets honest, right, and he says, I didn't really have the time. I wonder how that adversely affected the guys he sponsored. Because certainly it's easier to talk the talk then walk the walk. And a lot of what sponsorship is, at least in the beginning period, like if you're telling a newcomer, hey, go read the book, go write on this, this is what you should be doing, you should be going to a lot of meetings, there's absolutely nothing wrong in that. And whether you've got time or not, that probably those instructions would be the same. But then you wonder about the whole honesty thing. It's like, really? So my sponsor, who I thought had years, mm-hmm. has got 4 months?
Yeah.
Less time than a couple of the guys that he wanted to...
I'm not sure, though, he ever really said how much time he had.
And yeah, that's true.
So I don't think he wasn't dishonest about it. He just, you know, he came in, he came in, he worked the steps, he worked them quickly. I mean, he jumped in, you know, he did the workshop, work all 12 steps in a day like they used to back in the day.
Back in the day.
You know, he's worked them all. He's, you know, guy's working a good program. He's got a year right now.
Have you ever done anything? Have you ever done anything else ass backwards?
Me?
Yeah.
I
had one, and then I, while you were talking, I forgot what it was.
I don't know. I can't think of anything I've done particularly other than that ass backwards. I mean, I've done the steps in order in a bad way sometimes, like with my messing up with my fourth and fifth, dragging my fourth out so long I made myself sick, and
that'll
then not
it.
Wanting to, and then once I was finished with it, not admitting that I'd finished it and wanting to drop my fifth and my sponsor having to do like a little mini step intervention on me, forcing me to drop my fifth so that I wouldn't be sick anymore.
I thought of it. I did something, I don't know if I call it ass backwards, but in a sort of roundabout way. I asked a guy to sponsor me once. They had less time than me. And you should have seen this guy. The guy's got a great program. His name's Don. He's got a great program. He's got about a year less than me. And it's like I asked him, I said, hey, could you sponsor me? And he was like so, so very uncomfortable with that idea. He's like, oh, I don't know, man. Oh, you got this great program and everything. And I'm like, yeah, but I love your program. I like, you know, I like everything about the way you talk about doing things. I totally dig it. And, you know, not usually do people get people less time than them to sponsor.
Oh, if I had a new sponsor, I'd get one with like 4 or 5 years.
Because they're gung-ho.
They're gung-ho, and you know what? They got to co-sign my BS because I got a lot more time than they do.
Oh, perfect. 1-800-DIAL-A-SPONSOR.
That's right.
Work only the steps you want in the order you choose.
That's right.
For $2.35 a minute, you know, they'll co-sign anything
that's
you
right.
want.
You can listen to, they'll listen to your fifth step.
We should start that Recovery 101 Dial-A-Sponsor. Just have a bunch of recorded messages. If you'd like to bang a newcomer, press 1.
What about the...
A bunch of times.
Repeatedly, over and over. What about the infamous two-steppers? They come in and they do the first step. They don't want to do anything in the middle.
And they just want to go
and
carry the message.
Carry the they're carrying their mess right out there where everybody
carrying
can see
the
it.
Mess.
And because I've known several people, one of whom had like 14 years, was surviving solely on the 1st and the 12th, and admitted that they hadn't done any of the other steps and did not care to. And he was kind of cranky.
Well, you know, Mark had stepped out for a brief moment, but 12th step is one of those steps that I would say could be done at any time.
At 90 days.
Well, it's like, you know, we'll say, you know, you need 90 days to go on a panel. Well, you know what? At 90 days, I don't think that many people have worked through all their steps in 90 days. There's certainly some.
No,
but, I mean,
they sure are valuable to those people who have 6 days that are in a recovery home.
Yeah. Well, and see, that's the thing. You know, if a guy's got 30 days and has worked step one or even step two, and he goes into a recovery home where they haven't worked anything, my experience is when I was at Los Encinas Hospital, a guy comes in and he brings a panel in. And the guy who's leading the panel had like 26 years or something.
He's lying.
And I'm looking at him, I'm like, this guy is lying his ass off because no one stays sober that long. But there's this girl, and she's sharing, and her story is similar. It's this drug story. And she's like, and I just picked up my 30-day chip. I'm like, no shit. How did you do that?
Yeah.
And I was putting more stock in what she said than what he said by far.
Yeah.
Of course, she was pretty good looking, too. But
yeah. Well, that's...
You know.
That'll do it. It's
yeah.
a program of attraction rather than promotion.
I was attracted at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, when I was at Las Encinas, I met a guy who I was pretty sure was a patient who was actually my psychiatrist or psychologist or whatever it was. Psychiatrist, I think. And then the guy who I'm pretty sure was the doctor was like some executive from some movie studio. He went around, he was in a shirt and tie all day long. And the other guy looked like he just crawled out of a Grateful Dead concert. Awesome.
Perfect.
Shout out to Dr. Mike. I don't know if he's still around. This is before Dr. Drew. Old school.
Yeah.
So Shelley.
What?
What else do you have to say about ass backwards, bass backwards?
I don't know. I think that if you're not willing to, part of it is the whole willingness thing. When you come in, you have to be beaten down enough to do what's suggested to you to do. Because if you want what we have, okay, if you want what other people have, not necessarily me.
there's a lot of people that want what you have.
Not really, because they keep going out.
There's people.
So obviously they don't want what I have.
There's people in radio land that want what you have.
Maybe if they saw my house, they wouldn't so much.
What Bruce means is he thinks they want him.
Yeah.
No. That's your sponsee. That's your sponsee.
She
wants me.
Oh, yeah. Now I've lost my train of thought. Choo-choo.
Derailed.
Anyway, I think that if you have been beaten down enough, then you're willing to actually do the steps in the correct order, in the prescribed fashion, as is described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I think that, although we don't speak for them. And if you're not beaten down enough to actually do it...
Or the basic text.
Yes. If you're not beaten down enough to do it in the proper order, then you're probably not ready. I mean... there are exceptions to it. Obviously, I've seen some people that have numbers of years that haven't really worked any steps, and they don't care. They're surviving on meetings alone.
I've seen that. I know a guy. He used to do deliveries for me. This guy, he's got like 16, 17 years.
Yeah.
And I rarely ever even seen him at a meeting. He's always around the 502 Club. I mean, he always hangs out.
Yeah.
And you know what? And it's like, it's not even that he doesn't have program, because you can tell that he's talked with 10 billion people a time before. So it's not even that he doesn't have any program, but he certainly doesn't work any program, in like going and writing out steps. And I'm wondering almost like, is he getting it through osmosis? Because he clearly hasn't drank, he clearly hasn't used, and it's been 17 years. I mean, he's probably not likely to get loaded. And he doesn't seem all that unhappy.
No, he seems perfectly happy.
But that's not the way I would advise people to do it.
But then most of the people that I see that don't want to work any steps and are hanging around doing it based solely on going to meetings and fellowshipping are generally fairly miserable. Or creating drama, or getting involved in somebody else's drama.
Yeah.
Drama.
Yeah.
So, Mark, what do you think? What would your final words on it be?
Works at Beck, come and keep.
Nope.
All right. Woohoo. He thought about that.
Yeah, he did. He should have thought about it. What are your final words, Shelly? You have a final word? She's still trying to figure it out. Works coming, keep back.
If you decide that you don't want to do the work and you don't bother to tell anybody, you just get a sponsor and then go to meetings and don't do what your sponsor says, and you manage to, you're lucky enough to actually stay sober, eventually you're going to get into enough pain where you're going to have to go backwards and actually do the steps. So at some point that will happen, or you'll die a horrible, miserable death.
Work the steps or die.
Yeah, it's up to you. You can do it. There's nothing in the book that says you must do this. The book says it's a suggested program.
Yeah, just like they suggest you take a parachute if you're going to jump out of a plane.
Yeah, but you know what?
You don't have to.
You don't have to.
Right, you don't have to do anything except for pay taxes and die.
You can DB Cooper
so,
it.
But, you know, if you want to be reasonably sane and happy, then read the book and do what it says.
My final words would be that in whatever you're doing with your program, seek a second opinion. If you're going to work something out of order, I'm not saying it's always horribly bad, like if you need to do that amends or something that is really pertinent, but run it by your sponsor. And if you don't have a sponsor, get a sponsor. It's like the people want to work the steps. They don't even have a sponsor yet. Oh, yeah, I've been working it. Really?
Is there a woman you love that drinks too much or uses drugs? Or maybe that woman is you. At Casa de las Amigas, we can help. Casa de las Amigas is a beautiful facility nestled in a quiet Pasadena, California neighborhood. We have beautiful flowers, soothing fountains, and comfortable rooms, all very reasonably priced. Casa de las Amigas has a superb reputation in the recovery community and society at large. We have provided substance abuse services to women for over 44 years who are in search of a productive and sober life and the opportunity to achieve it. There is a spiritual wind that calmly flows across the grounds of our facility, touching the women with a willingness they may have never experienced before now. We have 30, 60, or 90-day residential treatment programs, intensive outpatient treatment, and our sober living environment provides the opportunity to work or obtain an education while living in a safe, sober atmosphere. Our caring and compassionate counseling staff walks the women through the complex recovery process with dignity and grace. For a free assessment, please call us at 626-792-2770. 626-792-2770.
Recovery 101, clean and sober, internet radio, yeah.
Well, it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze.
I have to find my... Hey, the ice cream man.
I hear an ice cream truck going by the studio,
wow.
And I'm
woo-hoo.
Like...
We might break.
I'm like...
Somebody go run and catch him. The ice cream man. Hurry. Go catch the ice cream man while I start the... I can start the boozy news while he's running.
You can start the boozy news without him?
All right.
We're back. We had to run and get the
ice
cream,
truck.
So, did you start doing the boozy news or no?
No.
Okay. Now we're all eating ice cream, which is pretty flipping good.
This is really good.
I love the ice cream truck.
We were called to task once by a listener because he said, we can hear you guys eating on the show. So we stopped eating on the show.
We're not going to do that.
That's because
anyway,
he had the munchies.
I'm out of breath from running, too.
Yeah, he had the munchies.
Shout out to Sarah, Fran, Robert, and Maggie.
Shout out.
The first one is the sad story that we skipped last time.
No.
This is a person who, although he admitted to what he'd done and will be doing probably on death row, actually, he is not worthy of water. I think they should just off him now instead of us paying for all the court costs. This is in New Orleans, and the man's name is Jeremiah Lee Wright. He admitted to decapitating his disabled 7-year-old son because he had grown tired of caring for the boy.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a child who had cerebral palsy and heart problems. He needed a feeding tube and a wheelchair.
Wow.
And his mother went out to run some errands.
Oh, my God.
And came back, and the boy was dead.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
That is horrible.
You know what I think we should do? I think we should take the guy and give the wife a big machete and let her decide what to do with them.
I'm thinking a rusty saw.
Yeah, whatever.
Big machete, the head goes, you're done. A rusty saw,
yeah,
you start.
There you go. And start from the back.
Start from the testicles.
Oh, wow.
Wow, and the next one's really depressing, too. In Atlanta.
Thank God.
Well, it's a good thing we have ice cream. In Atlanta, Georgia.
Ice cream makes all the depressing stories better, doesn't it?
Well, no, not really, but at least we have ice cream. In Atlanta, Georgia, a 15-year-old boy has been arrested after he allegedly stabbed his grandmother and killed his great-grandmother in a dispute over a video game.
Oh, let me guess. World of Warcraft?
It doesn't say... Oh, no, it does say Halo.
No. Okay, shame.
They took away his game. I don't know what for what infraction, but they took away his video game and wouldn't let him play, and he got mad and took a knife and stabbed him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds like a World of Warcraft thing, but Halo, same kind of thing, yeah. Online gaming.
Yep.
Yeah.
Shelly knows she's still recuperating from the knife wound I gave her.
From when I took away your... What was it? What were you playing at the time when I got really upset?
Probably Age of Empires or...
No, I was
Galactic
past it by
Battlegrounds.
Then. No, I was past it by then.
Zero Hour.
Command and Conquer.
No, it was that... Oh, Pharaoh. Was it Pharaoh? Remember when we got in that huge fight over you playing that Egyptian pyramid building
game
thing?
What a crappy game that ended up. That game took flipping forever, and there was like no good payoff for it.
We actually have pictures of Bruce completely catatonic sitting at the computer playing that game.
It wasn't even that great, but it's one of those games that once you've invested a bunch of time in it, it's like you want to finish it. It's like you got to build this pyramid. It's almost as long as building an actual pyramid. The only difference is I didn't have to use a whip on the little pixel guys. They just did it.
That was good of them.
This is in New York. I think that perhaps Al-Qaeda is a little confused about their objectives because they want to bomb David Letterman.
They want to cut his tongue out.
Let's see. Oh, I got it on the next page.
That's okay. Some of his former chicks you work with want to do that too.
They've asked Allah to paralyze his tongue and grant the sincere monotheists his neck. And I'm quoting them. Because he had made a joke about the death of accused terrorist leader, let's see how you pronounce this, Ilyas Kashmiri, who was killed in a U.S. airstrike. And he'd made some jokes about it, about him going to be with join bin Laden and stuff on his show. And so they're calling for death to the evil Jew. Letterman's not Jewish. But I think that
I think he's part Jewish.
No, he's not.
Because Adam Sandler
he's
has
not.
That song where he talks about everyone that's like...
He's not.
Letterman's not.
Some people are a little Jewish.
Mm-mm.
No.
But, I mean, seriously... Al-Qaeda is supposed to be this big kick-ass terrorist organization, and their target is now Letterman?
David Letterman.
I mean, they've come down a bit in the world, haven't they?
Yeah, you'd think they'd go after, like, NBC or something.
Yeah.
Just go for his network.
Instead of CBS, but that's okay.
Oh, is he? Oh, don't go for NBC.
Yeah.
That's where Saturday Night Live is.
Well, anyway, it is a death threat, and the FBI is looking into it.
Well, oh, joy. Great.
I wonder if Letterman feels any better about that.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, so in a few years, we should get the results of that one.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's just...
In Tulsa,
David
Oklahoma...
David Letterman is more worried now than he ever was.
Yeah, I know. Oh, my God.
I got the FBI protected me. I'm okay.
In Tulsa, Oklahoma, a man, and we don't know why. We don't know why William Sturtevant is doing this, but he climbed a 300-foot clear channel radio tower in East Tulsa and has been sitting there for, well, at the time of this story, which was yesterday, was 6 days.
Yeah, he came down.
Did he come down?
He came down.
Oh, you can't. Okay.
Did he say why he was?
They're not exactly sure why. He said that
he was
afraid of...
No, but he
was
really dehydrated when he came down.
I'll bet. No food or water for 6 days.
That's not accurate, though, because I saw news reports on that, and they had like a cherry picker up there.
Oh, yeah?
And they were handing him like a bottle of water and stuff like that.
Oh, right. And the story says no food or
and
water.
I'll tell you what, cherry picker, 300 feet? That's a hell of a cherry picker. Wow.
He said...
Really?
He said,
no. It wasn't 300 feet, was it?
No.
Mm-hmm. It says 300-foot clear channel radio
That's
tower.
That's really tall. Oh, my God.
That gets in the way of airplanes.
That's really tall. 300 feet is really tall.
He wasn't that high up on it, though.
They don't know how he gained access to the tower. They're not exactly sure what the reason
climbed.
Why he's up there.
He fell out of a plane.
But they say that he appears to be afraid of people and paranoid. So I'm wondering, he does have
how
a history.
Crack he smoked?
Yeah, he does have a history of burglary and drug convictions, and a history of mental illness. Although
Bingo.
They do not believe he's suicidal.
No, you're single. Okay, rewind. If you're suicidal,
you would jump
off the.
Yeah. I wonder how much crack he took up there with him. No one will find me up here.
That's right.
That's why he didn't come down.
I'm inconspicuous.
Shh. Yeah. Can you imagine?
Bird lands on a wire. It's like, shh.
Can you imagine trying to look through the bushes, into
from
the bushes
there.
From up there?
Yeah, they're all moving.
Yeah. In Louisville, Kentucky.
Oh, shit, there's a bunch of cops and firefighters and news crews
yeah,
down
there.
Now
I
really jacked
there?
Up.
Uh-oh, my ice cream's about melting. Okay.
Bite it.
I've been biting it. Speaking of biting it, in Louisville, Kentucky.
Segue.
A man is suing his doctors for amputating his penis without his consent. He went in to have a circumcision.
Wow.
And they went a little deep.
And the doctors say they found inoperable cancer on his penis, so they amputated his penis without asking him prior to the surgery.
You know what? I wouldn't want to be woke up to be asked that question while I've been sliced. Did they ask anybody or did they just do it?
Didn't ask his wife either. They just did it.
Oh.
Wow.
They should have waited and
asked
him.
I think his wife may have... She might have known he was fooling around, and she told the doctor before he
went. Go ahead.
Take it off. Maybe it was a female surgeon, and, you know, because you all form a bond.
Yeah, they even go to the bathroom together. What's that about?
They didn't have anything to shake.
Oh, jeez.
There's a video I saw one time. This guy's, like, in the bathroom. He's going to the bathroom. The guy goes in next to him, and he's like, hey, can I have a smoke? And the guy goes to give him a smoke. He's like, can you hold this for a second? Why, I like this. And then the other guy's like, oh, hey, can I have a smoke too? And it's like these three guys are like holding each other. He's like, shake it one more time. All right, thanks, man.
Thanks.
Well, in the same story, there are these related little blurbs. Apparently, another man penis was saved after a do-it-yourself enlargement enhancement went bad.
Do it yourself.
They used to call that jerking off.
Wow.
Maybe it was a ball of string and a brick.
Oh.
That's part of an old joke.
And let's see.
It's going to drip.
It's going to drip where?
Catch it. Wow.
Got it.
That was slightly erotic.
Shelly's there on the air like licking ice cream. You guys out there, you'd be like, oh.
Apparently.
This kind of light white milky substance was starting to leak.
The problem is it's like a strawberry one, so there was like a little bit of red in it. Didn't you know? Yeah.
There's also.
No, I've been drinking pineapple juice.
Good for you. It's good for your heart. There's also the woman accused of cutting off her husband's penis. Her bail was set at $1 million.
That's not enough.
You know what? That was a male judge for sure.
Yeah.
That's not enough.
Then there's also the distraught man who cut off his own penis after his wedding plans flopped.
What is this with the whole penis thing all of a sudden?
There's a whole list of them.
Shelly seems to be excited about all these.
We're not enjoying any of this.
Okay, so he cut it off. Why?
She left him at the altar.
So what?
I know. There's bridesmaids right there in a line. There's women lined up right next to you.
That's right. There's four lined up to choose from. That's what their job is in case the bride doesn't show up.
The best woman is there.
That's why every man should have a say in the maid of honor, because if the wife can't fulfill her role.
Absolutely.
Then the maid of honor needs
to
slide
in. That's what best man's supposed to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Something happens to husband, best man's supposed to take care of the wife?
Yeah.
That's actually, in India, that's actually true. That's why the wedding party is there.
I think that's what the original thing is on that. Unfortunately, in our case, my brother passed away, so we need to find a substitute for you.
I don't need a substitute. I have you.
Yeah,
there is no substitute for Bruce.
Could you imagine, though, in the United States, you're like,
what?
The woman comes home from, like, the grocery store, and the husband's doing the maid of honor, and he looks at you and says, I thought you were dead. I went to the grocery store.
I was saying, if that was really the way it worked, yeah. I could see guys all over America going, dude, I'll be your best man. Yeah, you too. I'll be your best man.
Yeah.
I'll be your best man. Yeah, I'll be your best man. You guys all going fishing?
26 people in the wedding party.
You guys all going fishing together? Yeah, let me fix your brakes before you go.
Yeah.
Let's see. In New York, the four big cigarette makers in the U.S. are suing the Food and Drug Administration, seeking to void as unconstitutional the new graphic labels that they're putting on that take up half of the front and back panels of the box of cigarettes.
I don't know that I agree with having that much. You know, I mean, the thing is, they've got things on them, on all of them, that say this can cause cancer. It's like, you know, when
have you seen the new labels?
Yeah, I have. They're pretty gross.
They're pretty gross. You know what, though? They should put them on every cigarette. They should actually put them on the cigarettes themselves.
Well, the quote from the lawyer that's representing the four big cigarette makers is, the notion that the government can require those who manufacture a lawful product to emblazon half of its package with pictures and words admittedly drafted to persuade the public not to purchase that lawful product cannot withstand constitutional scrutiny.
That I could see where that would be true, because that would be like going and taking every wine bottle made by everything that's sold in America, or every booze bottle, and putting graphic pictures of drunk driving accidents on them.
Yeah. It'd be like every crack pipe having to have a picture of, like,
someone sucked
this
up.
This girl with three teeth or something.
A crack hole?
Yeah.
All right. We're a little bit over time, but let's finish up the boozy news with the hero of the week. In Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Sweet.
And this is kind of shades of another hero of the week we had a few months ago.
Does he beat up the woman that cut off her husband's penis?
No.
He's not really a hero.
No.
Antonio Diaz Chacon is our hero of the week. He came home from work early to spend some time with his family in the afternoon. And it happened to be a coincidence that the family's washing machine went out, forcing them to do laundry a block down the road at a relative's home. While they were carting their laundry into the house, he saw a woman shouting and screaming down the street, help, help, help. And he looked over and he saw a man trying to force a young child into his van, a 6-year-old child into his van. Oh, no, sorry, 12-year-old child. Into his van. Sorry, it is 6 years old.
Okay.
It was the 12-year-old little sister that was also screaming.
Right.
Or big sister. He jumps into his truck, follows the van, chases it miles and miles and miles down the road until the van finally runs off the road into a pole. The guy in the van jumped out and ran off, and he went to the van and rescued the little girl out of the van and took her home. And the guy that was driving the van said, I didn't do anything. I didn't, you know, he's denying the whole thing. The little girl had gone to this woman's house originally to get a package of tortillas for her mom.
Mm-hmm.
The tortillas were still in the van.
Nice.
And plus, he was stupid enough not to be wearing any gloves or anything. His fingerprints are all over, like, the little girl's shoes and the bag of tortillas and stuff. And also found in the van was a roll of duct tape and, something else that was very scary. A Leatherman tool, a glove, a black satchel, and orange strapping tape. So
wow.
He was going to do something to that little girl. And Mr. Chacon stopped him.
Sweet. Shout out to you.
Nice job.
And they caught the guy, too, because he was on foot. And the woman that was shouting for help had called the police, so they caught him.
That's awesome.
Yep.
He rocks.
And that's the end of the boozy news.
Well, just like to throw out that we dedicated this show to Sarah. because Sarah loves things when they just stay the status quo. And we did this show Ask Backwards for Sarah. Made her listen all the way to the end, no matter what.
All the way to the beginning.
All the way.
By the way, I've got
that song "Sarah Smiles" stuck in my head now.
By the way, during this show, we did not speak for AANAOACAGAPASLASLACRRHADRAPASOS or any of them, guys.
Of the anons.
We didn't even speak that well for ourselves.
As you noticed.
As we noticed, Shelley, who's the lead out music by?
Well, because the show was dedicated to Sarah, let's do Kill Devil Rum Club. She loves them.